look forward to preaching tonight from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, we'll be looking at the second half of the chapter, beginning in verse number 15. When you come to Revelation 11, we're taking a glimpse into the future. We're looking into things that will happen hereafter. This has not occurred yet, and God is giving us a glimpse into what's going to happen, and specifically what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation. The church has been raptured out. The tribulation has begun. And during the Great Tribulation, the Lord is going to judge the world and sin. And ultimately, he's going to rule and reign forever and ever. And when we read Revelation chapter number 11, we're going to see some of the victories that the Lord's promised. I think about, as I read the book of Revelation, think about the situation that saved people. There's a great group of people who put their trust in Jesus during the tribulation. And I think about folks who have put their trust in Christ and all the trouble and grief and struggle that's going on. And I know that the book of Revelation is going to be the most read book of the Bible during the Great Tribulation. And I know for a fact that Christian people are going to read it and find great comfort in it. And they're going to read God's word, and they're going to say, I see what's going on here. I know what's going on now. And they're going to glory in the fact that God is soon going to prove himself faithful, true, and triumphant king forever. For us today that are living in this day of grace before the rapture of the church, before the tribulation, I'm encouraged to know that I've not been appointed to wrath, and I'll not be here when all this is going on. I'll be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you're saved, you'll be in the same place. You've put your trust in Christ. It's wonderful to know. But as I study this, the way I believe that it should apply to us is to rest in the fact that when we begin to get concerned and worried about the disheveled nature of things around us and the trouble that's everywhere and rampant, we need to rest in the fact that God is indeed faithful. And like the old preacher said, I read the back of the book and we win. Jesus is ultimately victorious. And if you stay on Jesus' side, you're going to find out you're on the winning side. And like the old song said, I'm a winner either way. And we know that we have victory through Christ. And I'll read to you, beginning in verse 15, these few verses, verses 15 through 19, Revelation chapter number 11. The Bible says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. Will you look with me in verse number 15? In the middle of the verse, the Bible says, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Tonight's message is titled this, he shall reign forever and ever. Have you ever been in a moment where you thought, my lands, I don't think I'll ever make it through this? But you made it through it, and you found out that there's life beyond that moment. And we come to this moment in our lives, and we think, I don't know how we'll weather that storm. I don't know how we'll deal with that difficulty. I don't know how we'll face life. And then we think and begin to think, and you'll have this thought, and it's okay to have it. How will I deal with forever? And I'm encouraged to tell you that he, Jesus Christ, shall reign forever and ever. My eternity is safe, secure, and sealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a few things about growing up. One thing I remember very vividly, I didn't like school. I'm careful to say that around school-age kids because I don't want them to be like the preacher. I want them to enjoy school as much as they can. But I didn't like school. As a matter of fact, I hated school. I couldn't wait every day for the last bell to ring, and I didn't want to be there 1 millisecond longer than I had to be. And I remember as a ninth grader, I started the first day of school, and there was 180 days of school. And I want you to know something. That number was daunting. I heard 180 days, and I was like, I remember getting sick at my stomach. And then I thought, oh, man, that's just ninth grade. 180 times four, that's going to be a long time. And I remember someone saying that, your high school days, they'll fly by. And it's true, they did. And they've been long in the rearview mirror. I graduated in the year 2000, and some of you think that's young. If you think that's young, my son's graduating this year. I've been praying that he'd fail some classes so he didn't graduate. He had to repeat his senior year, but it looks like he's going to go ahead and graduate. But he's going to graduate in the year 2024. That's kind of hard to imagine, isn't it? And but I remember that, and I think, my, how's this going to be? But you see, so much of the troubles that we've dreaded and the days that we've dreaded, they've long since passed. And you know what we found out? And we've seen God's proven himself faithful. If you're here tonight and you say, there's been some tough times, but I can testify that God has proven himself faithful. If that's you, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God has proved himself faithful. And when we read the book of Revelation, we read this passage of Scripture, when the Bible says he shall reign forever and ever, I want to remind you that as difficult as the moment is, and I don't want to take away from that, there's moments, and some of you are struggling and dealing with things that are more than I've ever had to face, and I'm praying and asking God to give you grace. I want to remind you of something. In the season, the storm that you're weathering, you remember this. He, Jesus Christ, shall reign forever and ever. And when the struggles of this life have been gone for 10,000 years, he's still going to reign and continue to reign forever and ever. The days of our life are short in comparison. The glory of God that is for eternity. And I'm encouraged by eternity. He shall reign forever. Let's consider this tonight. Number one, the facts. The Bible says in verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, here's what the vision of John is. He says, I'm seeing this. I'm seeing what's going to happen. I see what's going to come to pass. And what's coming to pass are the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. We understand that the devil plays a powerful role in the things that are going on in our world today. The Bible says that the devil's the prince, the power of the air. But I want you to know something. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, he shall reign forever and ever. And there's coming a time in the very near future, the return of Christ, that the devil will no longer have power. Won't that be a sweet day when sin no longer reigns in our mortal bodies, when sin is no longer even a temptation. It's a faint thought from the past. And I don't even know if in eternity we'll remember sin even existed, because the glory of Christ will overshadow it all. It's sweet to think. The facts are the kingdoms of this world. How many of you have said, like, boy, this world's in a mess? I want you to know something. It's coming soon. The kings of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he shall reign forever and ever. I want to remind you something. If you get caught up, burdened down, weighed down, and all the trouble, and what's going to happen if this happens? What's going to happen if that happens? What's going to happen after I lose my job? What's going to happen if this person dies and is gone? What's going to happen if this person's elected or this person's elected or this happens or that? If you start wringing your hands in fear of what might happen, I want to remind you of something. We know what happens ultimately and for forever. He shall reign forever and ever. It's the facts. I'm almost ashamed to admit this, but I never really became exposed to gun smoke until COVID. I know, I'm kind of like turn in one of my redneck cards because, I mean, I was so country. And I didn't want to watch TV when I was a kid. I was outside doing something. But I didn't get exposed to gun smoke until COVID. I'd watched maybe an episode here or there, but I hadn't learned the characters like I know them today until COVID. And I started looking for something to watch when I got tired of doing something else. And I started watching Gunsmoke. And all God's people said, hey, man, that's good stuff right there. And I remember watching Gunsmoke, and I didn't start right in 1955 when it began. There were 20 seasons of Gunsmoke from 55 to 75. And I've just learned all this in the last little bit to give you my illustration. But I began watching Gunsmoke, and I've got to confess something. There were a few times when good old Matt Dillon would get shot by the bad guy. And it looked something like this. Matt Dillon gets shot, and he's laying out in the street, and Kitty's crying over his lifeless body, and he begins to sweat profusely, and some big burly guy carries him up the steps to Doc's office, and he's laying there. Everybody's worried, and there's background music. And you know what I found out? There was a couple times that I got into the show so much, and I'm ashamed. But I get into the show so much, I was like, I don't know, but is Matt going to die? And then it's kind of like snap out of it. And I'll tell you what I did. I hit pause. I'd hit back on the button on the on my remote control. And I'd see what season it was and what episode it was. And as long as it wasn't 20, I didn't have anything to worry about. I mean, we're like episode 5 of season 6. And Matt's laying there. And everybody's nervous. And everybody's scared. And is Matt Dillon going to die? And Doc's like, I don't know if he's going to come out of this one. And Eustace is even beginning to get concerned. But the bottom line is, I looked at the episode list. I looked at where we were in the season. I know what happened and how long that show lasted. And when I'd go back and say, ah, season 6, episode 5, I'd be like, he's going to pull through. And I could watch the rest of the episode with no fear. You know why? I don't know how he's going to come out of it. Who cares? He's coming out of it. He's going to be fine. Here's some interesting things. Matt Dillon in 20 seasons was shot 56 times. Yeah. He was knocked unconscious 29 times, stabbed 3 times, and poisoned once. You think that's bad? That old boy shot 407 people in 20 years of gun smoke. Now, I've said all that foolishness to say something really important. We get into, emotionally, all the ups and downs and the drama of life. And I understand. And there's a certain element that's okay. But let me tell you something. If you find yourself desperate, if you find yourself so afraid that you have no peace and you can't rest and you can't sleep, let me remind you of something. The Bible says that he shall reign forever and ever. It's a fact. And I can trust him. It's a fact. He shall reign forever and ever. And I'm just going to tell you, how many times have I felt so silly? Is Matt going to die? The answer is no. Is Jesus going to fail? No. Is God going to be victorious? Yes. For how long? Forever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise his name. May God help us. Don't get so caught up in the episode. Now you forget how the whole story ends. He shall reign forever and ever. Number 2, If we move from the facts to number two, praising the Lord. When the Lord gives us this hope that he shall reign forever and ever, the next thing that the Lord tells us is the 24 elders, which represent all of Christians, saved people, represent the saints before the Lord. The Bible says that the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. Let me tell you something. When you remember that he shall reign forever and ever, that the kings of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. When you begin to see that, you have every reason to fall on your face and worship the Lord God Almighty. You see, they said, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, which art to come, Jesus is eternal, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." Let me tell you something. Right now, sin is playing a terrible role in the world in which we live. But the Bible says there's coming a day when God will take to himself his great power and he'll reign. And I'm thankful for that. Praise the Lord for the fact that he's eternal. Praise the Lord for the fact that he is all powerful. Praise the Lord. They continue to praise the Lord. Verse 18, here's what they praise the Lord for. "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged." I want to remind you of something. And I'm not rejoicing that people are going to be judged. I promise. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do everything I can for as long as I live to preach the word and encourage people to turn to Jesus so they can avoid the judgment and wrath of God. But I will tell you this, I am encouraged to know that sin will be paid for. Sin will be punished. Sin will not win. God wins, and sin will be judged. Judgment is coming. The wrath of God will fall, and wickedness will be punished. If you ever wonder how it's possible that so many bad people seem to be getting by with so many things, let me tell you something, they won't get by with it. The Bible says there's coming a time when the wrath of God is coming, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. It's coming. I don't rejoice in their judgment, but I rejoice in the righteousness of God. And I rejoice knowing that God will settle all the accounts perfectly. And we can praise the Lord for his judgment, his righteousness. But also we can praise the Lord for his reward. Look what else they're praising the Lord for. "That they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." He says the Lord's going to reward. Who's he going to reward? He's going to judge. He's going to judge those that have even died without Christ, died in their sins. But he's going to reward. Who's he going to reward? He's going to give reward to his servants, the prophets, and to the saints. Maybe you're here and you think, "Boy, I'm no prophet." I knew this old preacher one time, and it was one of his favorite things to say before he made a judgment about something. If he was going to make a judgment about something, and he was a wise man, and he made wise judgments about things, but he always said, "Now, Cody, I'm not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet, but I think you ought to." And I know I'm not one of the prophets. And then the Bible says to the saints. Now, I will tell you something pretty fun. If you're here today and you're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a saint before God. Isn't that sweet? I'm going to tell you how awesome God is. God's able to make some of y'all and me saints. Pretty amazing. Hallelujah. God's grace is amazing. Saints, prophets, and saints. And perhaps you say, "Well, I don't know if I could ever bring myself to be like a saint." But you are a saint if you're saved by grace through faith. You say, "I don't know." But how about this? The Lord's going to reward them that fear his name. I'm thankful for that. The Lord's going to reward the folks that fear his name. And then look at the next two words, small and great. I don't know why that encourages me so much, but I'm so thankful to know that whether you're a big fish in a little pond or a little fish in a big pond, if your affection is fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're trusting in Christ, if you're resting in the Lord, the Bible says you'll be rewarded. And I'm thankful. Look, you can praise the Lord for his reward. I'm thankful that one of these days I'm going to glory. I'm going to reap what the Lord has prepared for us. I notice I didn't say I'm going to reap what I deserve. No, I'm going to reap what God has prepared for those that love him. And let me tell you something, God has prepared something for all of us that's far greater than what we deserve. It's actually what he deserves. Hallelujah. And he deserves all the glory. You see, the Bible says that we're going to receive the benefits, the reward. The small of us, the great, we get the reward. I think it's perfectly okay to sing a song like, I got a mansion just over the hilltop. To sing songs about heaven and the glories that God has prepared for us. And try as you may, there's no way you can describe with words or even imagine what God has prepared for those who put their trust in him. I'm thankful. And so the four and twenty elders, they praise the Lord. They praise the Lord. They praise him for his eternality, his power, his judgment, his reward. There's one more taste of judgment as we look at it in verse number 18. And should us destroy them which destroy the earth. Folks, I want you to know God is going to reign forever. Judgment's falling. And actually, when we read this, if you're living in sin, you've rebelled against God, if you've left God out, I beg of you, humbly begin to follow him again today. Serve him. Trust him. If you feel the guilt of sin that the Holy Spirit is making you aware of, repent of your sin and trust in Jesus. He'll forgive you your sin and give you peace in your heart. And peace with God and eternal life. Oh, it's sweet. There's all kinds of reasons to praise the Lord. We praise the Lord because he shall reign forever. Finally, number three. Promises for the storms. Now, let me tell you something. Just because the Bible says he shall reign forever and ever doesn't mean that tomorrow you're not going to deal with something that's tough. How many of you in the past week have dealt with something that's tough? Would you say, instead of saying amen, say, oh me, 1, 2, 3, oh me, yes. Oh me. What can I do? I mean, perhaps you are one of these people that every time Matt gets shot, you just absolutely lose your mind. You think this is the end. Every time something goes wrong in your world, immediately you just think, this is the end. It's all over. Speaking of COVID television, this is the big one. Right? I mean, every time there's a little tinge of discomfort, like, this is the big one. This is the end. Ah! How many of you have been guilty of overreacting? Jumping to conclusions? Yeah, you bunch of sinners. Let me show you something at the end of this chapter. Promises for the storms. The Bible says this, and this is a vision. John's seeing this, and he's writing it, and we get to enjoy it. The Bible says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. We see the temple of God in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. Now when you look into the temple, and you see the ark of the testament, the ark of the covenant, The Old Testament represented the presence of God with God's people. Inside the Ark of the Covenant was the manna. The manna testifies to God's faithfulness to take care of his people. You remember the nation of Israel, as rotten as they were, God sent manna from heaven. God took care of them. In the Ark of the Covenant was the rod of God. God used in a mighty way to guide God's people. Aaron's rod. And in the Ark of the Covenant was the law, the Ten Commandments, tablets of the law. Now, when you look into the temple, now there's a few things you can see. I'll tell you something. You look at those Ten Commandments and they condemn us. But you look at the manna, the rod of God, and we're reminded of the faithfulness of God. You look into the Holy of Holies and you see the Ark of the Covenant, and we're reminded that God is faithfully guided and protected and been present with his people. There's so many things that you could bring into this moment. You consider the tabernacle, but I'm thinking about this very thing. When I look at the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm going to tell you something, I know I'm guilty of breaking the Ten Commandments, but I also know that God is with me, and he's faithful, and he's forgiven me. And he protects me and he cares for me. I know through Christ I have access into the Holy of Holies. I know that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ and peace with God. And when I look into the Holy of Holies, I'm not reminded of the judgment of God falling on me. I'm reminded of the fact that God has always been faithful. He keeps his promises. His promises are true for me. We look at this passage of Scripture, and the Bible says the temple of God was opened in heaven. There was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And then what the Bible says, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. What's that have to do with anything? Let me tell you something. God's people's eyes were fixed on the faithfulness of God, the presence of God, the goodness of God, God's history. The access that we have through Christ into the Holy of Holies, where our hearts and our eyes are fixed on the fact that God is the promise-keeping God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God's faithful. What else is happening? We're looking on the fact God's faithful, God's faithful, God's faithful, God's faithful. What's happening in the background? Lightnings, voices, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. Hey, let the storms rage. Let the troubles come. I'm looking at the fact that God is faithful. I'm looking to the fact that God has won, that God is victorious. I'm looking to the end. I'm looking and I'm understanding that as emotional, as troubling as the moment may be, he shall reign forever and ever. Oh, happy day. What a faithful God. He shall reign forever and ever. Hey, look, don't get so caught up in the drama of the lightnings, thunderings, voices, earthquakes, and the hail. You just look on the fact that God's always been faithful. God always will be faithful. And he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior.